having the real experience is beyond being called a Christian. You must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my Shabbat. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an emissary. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to bear on the earth.
Welcome to Church on a Mission with Pastor Karis in Anewealth.
All right, can we read? I want your heart to be hungry this morning. Amen. Hungry for God's word and hungry for the touch of the Spirit. Church on Sunday morning, or church on Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, whatever time we gather, is so important. Fellowship with the saint is so important. Fellowship with the Lord through his word in the presence of his spirit together with the saint is important. To say it's not important is to call God a liar. Amen. You know, there's a statement I've been making for years now, and that is spiritual growth is impossible in isolation. The beautiful thing about our fellowship is it's something invisible. Okay, we come together. Yeah, it's visible. We gather together. But there's a transaction that happens in the invisible realm. There's a strengthening. There's a sharing together. Hallelujah. Very important. There's a sharing together such that even if a great, mighty man of God is in the congregation and someone who he mentors is the one preaching, because of that atmosphere, they are transference of wisdom, of virtue, of grace, of favor, and of power. Hallelujah. Very important. Because you see, there's a way God honors the gathering together of his people, the assemblage of his people. Very important. Very important. I assure you, even if it's a secondary school student fellowship you go to, you left secondary school 20 years ago and you've been working with the Lord consistently, meaning by all means, all things being equal, you should be ahead of them. But you go for that fellowship and they are gathered like that and you just sit down and the Spirit of God is there and someone is sharing, you will hear God. Glory to God. Something will happen. You'll be strengthened. You'll be strengthened. So very important. Very important. This is to create an expectation. Expect to be strengthened. Expect to receive. Expect to be refined, to be inspired and motivated. Glory to God forevermore. Are we ready for God's word?
Yes.
All right, we started sharing on church on a mission. Church on a mission. Church on a mission. Very important. Very important. Church on a mission. Okay, let's just read this first. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of this world. Now, this is Jesus praying. The popular prayer in St. John's Gospel, 17th chapter. The prayer of Jesus. He was praying to the Father for the church, for himself, for his passion. That's his death, burial, and resurrection now, and for the church. And in the midst of that prayer, he pointed this very important thing out. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. I mean, that first line alone has already challenged somebody's theology. Because all your life you were told that you are here to go to heaven. Hallelujah. You are here to make heaven. And Jesus is offering a prayer that is against that theology, that is opposite of that theology. The thing about that is it makes the believer or the church to think escapism. I believe it was Pastor Femi during the last marketplace that mentioned how that the church in Nigeria, almost part of Africa, practices escapism. Meaning we are looking forward to be taken and not getting serious with being relevant on the earth. And he called that escapism. I like that expression. And you see, certain things fool certain things. When you begin to think that you're on earth to try to make heaven, you're already programming your mind for escapism. Hallelujah. You won't take responsibility as you ought on the earth. You won't take responsibility for your environment. You won't take responsibility the way God will have us take responsibility. Because you are thinking that God's ultimate goal is to get you into heaven. That is not God's ultimate goal. That is not God's ultimate goal. In fact, when we read the book of Revelation, we see that after the rapture of the church, after the millennial reign, after the judgment of Satan and the dragon, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. He says he saw the new Jerusalem descending from heaven, coming down like a bride adorned for her groom. You remember? A new Jerusalem. And he says the saints shall dwell in there. There will not be need of sun or moon, for the Lord shall be the everlasting light. No more death. Glory to God. So if the Bible talks about a new earth, that means there's something eternal about man's assignment on the earth. That's something deep right there. Yes, it's in Revelation. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So after this earth is destroyed, there's going to be a new earth. So that man can continue his assignment in a more perfect environment. Glory to God. You see, God is an intentional God. God is purposeful. God is definite. God is very intentional. Meaning there's nothing he does that doesn't have a touch of purpose. Absolutely nothing. And that includes the birthing of the church on the earth. And Jesus foresaw that and prayed this prayer. Lord, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you preserve them in the world. Verse 16. That you keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We are not of this world. We may look like them, but we are not of this world. We are not of this world. What he's saying is, listen, I sent them into the world, but they are not of the world. I say that again. You see, him saying we are not of the world doesn't mean we are not to live in the world. He said we are not of the earth. We are not of this world. We are not products of man's will. You remember in 1 John chapter 1 when he began to say he came unto his own? He was in the world knew him not. And I told you that how was Jesus in the world? He was in the world in the mouth of the prophets. They spoke him. Meaning when Isaiah prophesied, he was speaking for the word of God. He was in the world and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many has received them, to them gave him power to become the sons of God. It says, who are born not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, not of blood, but of God. It's talking about our origin here. Just like Jesus, who says, I came down from heaven. He says, I am from above, you are from beneath. He knew where he was from, but that didn't stop him from carrying out his assignment on the earth. That didn't stop him from abdicating his responsibility on the earth. From avoiding his responsibility on the earth. That picture is important. We are not of this world. That means we are not legally under the influence, or not supposed to be under the influence of the God of this world. Of the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Of the spirit of the world. Very important. If you are part of the world, you cannot influence it. If you are going in the same direction or influenced by the same things that influence the world, you cannot influence the world. It's not possible. So that is to give us a mindset. That's what he's saying. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Meaning, just like Jesus said, I came down from heaven, we too can say we came down from heaven. We can say we were sent from heaven to help the earthlings. To help the sons of men. To help the children of men. Understanding this statement alone should give you a sense of mission. Look at the next verse. 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And it says the word has separated us. How can we boldly declare that we are not of the world? When you were born in Nineveh, see your birth certificate. And then you are starting to say, I'm not of the world. The day you got born again, the world sanctified you. The world separated you. Just like Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth. But he boldly could say, I am not of this world. I came down from heaven. He says, before Abraham, I am. And the Jews picked up stones to stone him. Why? They understood. No, you reading the modern English, you are thinking, okay, but that English is not really correct. He's supposed to say, before Abraham was, I was. Or before Abraham, I was. They asked him, you're not even up to 50. But they understood what he was saying. He was calling himself, I am that I am. The Jews knew. So they called it blasphemy, thinking it's English, you're trying to edit it. Before Abraham, I am. No, he was calling himself the I am. That man that appeared to Moses at the backside of the desert. That's what he was saying. But I knew him. You are the son of Joseph. We know your dad. We know your mom. We know your siblings. The word has sanctified. So when you speak because of what the word of God says, you are not lying. You are not out of line. You are not being braggadocious. You are agreeing with the mind of God. He saw from the writings of the prophet that he was the son of God. That he was that son that Isaiah spoke about. That unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. The word of God has separated us. This is why you cannot measure yourself anymore by your background. By the family you came from. By the ethnic group you came from. Do you know there are people that have low self-esteem because they are from minority tribes? It's amazing. And they are Christians. They say, in this state, our tribe is the least in the least local government. So they just say, we can't do big things. Well, you have changed tribe. Oh, hallelujah. We can trace your lineage to the I am. Are you listening? Bethlehem was a very small town. Even Nazareth was a very small town. But Jesus didn't attach himself to natural origin. He knew he was separated by the word of God. He knew. In his thinking, he was sure. He was separated by the word of God. And he knew there was nothing that was impossible. Why? He was a child of the, he was a product of the prophetic words that were spoken before him. It matters how you see yourself. We're talking about the mission of the church. It's important you see yourself in the light of scriptures. Sanctify them by thy word is truth. By that truth, the word is truth. The word has separated us. We are the sent ones. Not because your daddy said so. Not because your husband said so. Not because your wife said so. Because the word of God said so. The word has separated us. The word has sanctified us unto the Lord. You stand in front of the mirror and tell yourself, this is a young man on a mission. Because the word says so. You stand and tell yourself, I'm going to engage this world with the power of God. And it's going to happen. In the name of Jesus, my voice will be heard, my impact will be felt. Knowing that God has separated you. You will say, this industry has fallen to my hands. This sector has fallen to my hands. Why? The world has separated you. Jesus knew it. Hallelujah. Next verse. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Can you see the commissioning? So just like Jesus has, just like the Father sent him in St. John's Gospel 20:21, I believe, or 21:20, he said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. There's a commissioning. Hallelujah. I said there's a commissioning. We are not a bunch of people who have a religion. No. So you now begin to understand when we say Christianity is not a religion. It's the expression of God's life lived through a human vessel. It's not a religion. There's an expression of heaven through you. God is passionately seeking to have full expression through you. Passionately. If you can have a glimpse of the mind of God, which is what we're doing, passionately seeking to have expression through you. So to judge yourself by where you are coming from biologically, by where you are coming from ethnic group, academically, is to short circuit God's plan for your life. Hallelujah. There's a commissioning. As my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. As my Father has sent me, even so sent I you. Can you for a moment just think that you are sent? Sent to this generation with something to offer. You may not know it yet. We will unveil it as this series goes on. Sent with something to offer. Hallelujah. Sent. There is no Christian who doesn't have a call of God on his life. No Christian. Don't be deceived. No Christian. Don't be deceived by the popular ideology. When they say the call of God, you are thinking of pastor and preaching. No. God is wiser than that. God is wiser than that. If our God didn't call us to pastor a congregation of pastors, are you aware? Because we can't have the necessary impact outside. The impact will just be in the church. What do pastors do? They work in church. But that's not God's dream. He wants you to be a pastor in that place He has planted you. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Alright, we say the objective of this teaching is to understand who the church is and why the church exists, remember? And to help you understand your individual responsibility in the mission of the church and to carry it out. Number three, to set up a fire in the inner quarters of your heart that you will run with all your life. So this is the objective of this series. Hallelujah. We also want to talk about what the church is. We say the church is not a building with a cross on top. The church is the assembly of the called out ones. Ecclesia, right? The assembly of the called out one. I'm going to say it in St. Matthew's Gospel 16, verse 18 to 19, where the word church was first mentioned in the New Testament. He came with a statement of authority. He came with an endorsement that, look, this is the assembly that is delegated to carry out my mission on the earth. So it wasn't by accident. When Jesus said, upon this revelation, upon this rock, he said unto Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. The next thing talks about authority. And that is to show us that the church of God is the accredited agents, accredited carrier of God's power on the earth. Delegated authority to act on God's behalf on the earth. Did you see that? What's the next thing? I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind in the earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. I love the Message translation. You remember what it says? Who remembers? A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. Watch this. It means the only influence God has on the earth today is His church. So you are angry and saying, is there really a God? If there's a God, why are people dying? Ask the church. If there's a God, why are people poor and living under the bridge? Ask the church. Is somebody here this morning? He delegated His authority to the church and left. If there is a God, why is the health sector not working? Ask the church. Especially the church in the health sector. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. If there is a God, why is the politics not working? Ask the church. Hallelujah. He mentions authority. Introduces authority. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. Through the church. We also went further to talk about the three expressions of the church. The first expression is what? The individual church. The member in particular. The individual believer can be called the church. Can be called the church because the individual believer has the DNA of the church. We say to the local church. I'm saying the local church is the body of believers in a locality, all right, in a particular place with a common vision and a unique expression of Christ, actively reaching the environment. You remember that? Unique expression. Two things. But the word local, I would say, it doesn't connote civilization, just location. It doesn't mean we want to say local church, they are local, they are not exposed. You understand? It connotes location. The local church. The local church. And listen, we also say that the local church is the functional unit of the universal church, which is the third expression. The universal church is the body of Christ, the entire body of Christ, with different denominations at different locations. So watch this. God has an assignment for the universal body of Christ. But he carries out that assignment, that task, to the functional unit, which is the local church, made up of individual believers. Did you get that? So as every local church is positioned to carry out the assignment in their locality, in their jurisdiction that God has given to them, and expressing, giving a unique expression to Christ and his kingdom, the universal church is built. So when we talk about the unity of the church, never think that God is on an ecumenical movement. You know, ecumenical movement? That means everybody in the church is going to have one general overseer globally. You are joking. It will never happen till Jesus comes. The unity of the faith doesn't mean all the churches in the world will not have one Jew. The unity of the faith is not uniformity of doctrine either. Are you listening? It's something spiritual. Every part carrying out his responsibility. Hallelujah. A perfect example, the human body. The Bible likened the universal church to the human body, Christ being the head, the church being the body. I would say that if you did a little biology, you know that the human body operates by organs and systems. And those organs and systems are made up of cells. And the cells do not operate alone. So they are no hanging Christians. There's no single cell in your body that operates in carrying out the functions of the body alone. No cell. The cells of your heart work together. The cells of your brain work together. The cells of your muscles work together. Is somebody listening to me this morning? No Christian was designed to live in isolation, to serve God in isolation. Meaning every Christian must belong to a group of believers carrying out the function. Are you listening? It's getting serious now. Any cell of your body that's separate is not even possible. Interdependence. The cells of the lungs supply oxygen to the body, but they need blood also. You see that? So it's not possible. This is why we say the local church is the functional unit of the universal church. Every Christian, listen to me, I said this last week, every Christian should belong to a local church, should belong vitally. That means you are not just present, your impact is felt one way or the other. You are contributing to the growth of the vision of that local assembly. You are contributing to the expression, that unique expression of that body of believers with a unique vision. And you don't need to be an usher to serve. You don't need to be a children's church teacher to serve. Those are platforms, legitimate platforms of service. But there's a vital connection. There's a supply from your joints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is someone here this morning? Mm. It also means your personal vision and dreams must be tied to God's bigger vision for the church. I say that again. Your personal visions and dreams must be tied to God's bigger vision for the church. Do you know that even from Genesis, when God created Adam, he gave him an assignment. We've defined terms, right? We said we've defined what a church is. A mission is a task that achieves a purpose. Alright, that's what a mission is. I'm wondering what's a mission? A task. A mission is a task that achieves a purpose. From Genesis 1, 27 to 29, we see that after Adam and Eve were created, God gave them a task and gave them tools for the accomplishment of that task. They had tools. He gave them the blessing. He gave them his righteousness. They had tools. What was the assignment? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, meaning be my vice regents on the earth. Be my vice regents on the earth. Exercise my dominion, exercise my counsel, and let this garden of abundance be replicated around the world. That was the assignment. And keep every intruder out. That was the assignment. And they were equipped for it. Jesus had an assignment. But Abraham had an assignment. Study Genesis 12. There was an assignment. A task. With the equipping. Jesus also had an assignment. We read it. The thief cometh but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come. Remember? That he may have life. And have it more abundantly. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. That he may destroy the works of the devil. We have an assignment. Matthew chapter 28. Let's break down the so-called Great Commission. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. What is the Great Commission? I introduced something last week. And I made a very bold statement. I said, if we don't understand that term, we can never practically apply all these teachings, what we're teaching. We can never partake practically now what you call the Great Commission, the Bible, what we call the Great Commission from 18 to 20. We can't. And the expression is in that word nation. Praise God. He says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Hi. All power. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Who talks like that? Who talks like that? Only Jesus. Is everybody saying all hail? All hail. All hail. Meaning I just got the victory. I just paralyzed Satan and his cohorts. He says all power in heaven and in earth. All power. All power. So which one did he leave for Satan? Oh, goodness. All power. What does all mean? All means all. All power in heaven and in earth. Now, you now understand Ephesians chapter 1. When it says far above principalities and powers. Above all rules. All dominion. Above everything that is named, both in this world and in the world to come. Oh, the authority of the believer. And he says this authority, this power is carried out through his church. His fullness. His fullness. Meaning, listen, simply put, every authority, all this power that he's talking about, he handed it to the church. Satan has no power to oppress you. He has no power to intimidate you. His only power over the believer is ignorance. Now you understand what Paul meant. He said, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. His only advantage is ignorance. All power in heaven and earth is given. Listen, there are no lands where we have not been given the license to preach. No land, no nation. Absolutely no nation. Because our Father bought the whole field. It also means there is no parasatal, no sector that we are going to leave for Satan. Kai. Did you get me?
Yes, sir.
Maybe walking in the place and it's as though darkness has taken over. And you're wondering, Kai. You know, I was watching the biography, a documentary about Archbishop Bessie Dahosa. That man was a pioneer. My goodness. We're here like this today, partly because of what men like that did. We can go on TV today because of what men like that did. We can diversify now as a church because of what some men did. You know, it was said that then in Benin, you couldn't get promoted to a certain level in the parasatal if you were not in a cult. In the 70s, in the 60s and 70s, you take a case to the court and you have to lose, even when you have every evidence to win the case, if you are not in the court, if you are not in the bone. It was that serious. Everywhere there in the banks, in the legal sector, everywhere, you couldn't rise if you belonged to a cult. Until a man came who publicly confronted that system. Why? Because he believed in the authority of Jesus Christ handed over to him. He spoke to them publicly and privately. He stood on, I'll never forget the crusade I watched. He stand, he said, "We have come to break the powers of Ogboni in stadium."
Aya.
Bold. Why? He knew that all power in heaven and on earth had been given to Jesus. Next verse. He said, "Go ye therefore." Hey, go ye therefore, because of this power and authority. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. All right, so let's talk about the word nations. I said, if you don't understand that word, won't be. You can look at it and say, ah, God says you teach all nations. Let's go to Sierra Leone. And you are wondering, every time you read it, but God has told me to stay in Jos. Where's the nation in Jos? Okay, Lord, everybody in Jos. All right, I'm in a nation called Nigeria. I'm influencing everybody in Nigeria. You cannot understand that scripture that way first. Do you understand? The word translated nation there is ethnos. Ethnos. You must understand the concept of ethnos. What is ethnos? Ethnos is a group or a multitude of men and women related, connected, associated by common interest, common language, and common culture. Did you get that? And we have macro nations, M-A-C-R-O, macro nations. Those ones are bound by geographical boundaries. But yet, we have micronations. Now, this is very important. Very key. The penetration of the gospel before King Jesus returns must be carried out at these two levels. Meaning, we don't just penetrate micronations. We don't just talk about taking micronations. We must be skillful, intentional, and consistent in penetrating micronations. So you come to the world of medicine. Oh, is somebody here?
Yes,
we have people that speak the same language.
Yes, sir.
Common interest. What is the interest? Patient care. And then you have thousands, hundreds and thousands of people in that nation. You come to the nation of fashion. You come to the nation of law. You come to the nation of sports. Common language. There are terms they use that you may not understand if you are not there. Oh, come on, there'll be somebody here. You talk about the nation of technology. We talk about the nation of artificial intelligence and robotics. Is somebody following me this morning? There's a nation of entertainment. They have their language. So you have to think like that. When you are saying, Lord, give me this mountain. Lord, you have called me to teach my nation. You begin to identify your nation and define your mission within your nation. Are you listening to me? Ethnos. Every believer was designed to belong to a nation, to belong to a micronation. Family is a nation too. It's common interest. Hallelujah. You begin to identify your nation. Listen, God's will for you, and I'm going to read some scriptures in second service. God's will for you in belonging to a nation is not to make the ends meet. I actually don't like that term. I don't like, what do you mean the ends you meet? So we are just here trying to make ends meet. What do you mean the ends will never meet? Why do you want the ends to meet? Glory to God. The moment you identify your nation, or you know that God has planted you in a place, either geographical or occupational or interest based, you are there to take over. Oh, I thought I was going to get the response there. You are not there to make ends meet. You are there to go counterculture. Meaning you are there to bring the culture and the influence of heaven to that place. Now you now see why I said that prayer and Bible study and meditation is not for pastors alone. Serious ones. So if you are waiting, if you want to live a life of maintenance, you are just there to put body and soul together. To make ends meet. You don't need to be serious about your spiritual life. But if you know that you are there for a mission, you will see giants. You will confront giants. Is somebody listening to me? You tell yourself, in the fashion industry, we will cut the shots. Give me Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 in Message translation. Let me show you something. You know, in Deuteronomy 28, God began to talk to the nation of Israel. If thou hearken to my voice and all that, I'll put you above and not beneath. I'll make you the head and not the tail. Verse 16 talks about the head and not the tail. Listen to me, everyone. The head means ahead, right? Number two, that instruction, that blessing was not just for an individual. He was speaking over the nation, which was the type of the church. Oh. Which was the type of the church? Which was the type of the church? Give me verse 21. Okay, 22, right? Look at what God thinks about the church. He's in charge of it all. Has a final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. Next verse. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. Hi. The world is peripheral to the church. You know what this means? It doesn't mean that he's saying we're not designed to be peeping into what is happening in the world. That means, oh, the main thing is happening in the world and the church is peeping. Oh, what is happening? How can we join? No! Hey, we are in the center. You saw that. He said the church is not peripheral to the world. The church is not peripheral to the world. Meaning the church was not designed to be inferior to the world. We are not the ones to be playing catch up. We are not the ones that the world should be dragging. Political system will drag us here. Legal system will drag us here. No! We are the core and the world is peripheral. The world will be peeping to see what's the main thing to do. Oh, can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sit down, sit down. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Can you see? He speaks and acts through the church. Hallelujah. Are you learning something this morning? Are you blessed? If you didn't get anything this morning, know that the church is not peripheral to the world. Meaning we are not the ones to copy what is happening in the fashion in the world. We are to lead the way. Oh, I love that expression that we had on stage last year. How many of you remember? We lead, the world follows. That is the destiny of the church. We lead, the world follows. Enough. Enough. You are in the hospital is not working. Take leadership of it. Don't run away. Stop complaining and act. You know the reason why many Christians cannot act is because, number one, their mindset. Number two, they got there to put body and soul together. That's the life of animals. It's not for you. Humans are created for a higher purpose. Don't switch on survival mode. You are not created to survive. Listen, the beautiful thing is this. The moment you take responsibility, do you know that taking responsibility is a sign of growth? The moment you take responsibility, you begin to see supplies. Supplies beyond your imagination. This is where we apply our faith. In fact, the primary purpose of faith is to drive kingdom vision, to drive kingdom mission. You now begin to engage your faith. Engage your faith. I want to challenge you this morning, both young and old. The church, which is you, which is the local assembly, is not peripheral to the world. Go and read the history of scientific inventions. The church was leading. The church was leading. And this generation is back. In reformation, in bringing reforms, and bringing changes to institutions and territories, the church is responsible. And you are the church. Hallelujah. The hand of the Lord is upon you. And you will live in these words. You will live to act out these words you are hearing. For some of you, it's looking so far away. You are saying, how can I? Talking like Gideon. And you are saying, I am the least from the least tribe. From the least family in Israel. But the Lord is telling someone this morning, go in this your might. Oh, go in this your might. For you will smite the Midianite as one man. Go in this your might. Don't look at what you have around you or what you don't have. Let his word enter your heart. Let it bear vision in your hearts. That we are not peripheral to the world. Rather, we are the ones making things happen. And the world is coming to peep to check what is happening. Can I get an amen? Amen. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Amen. I say the hand of the Lord is upon you. These words will not leave you. The Lord will cause it to burn until you can no longer live a normal life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will cause the fire of his vision to burn in your heart. The Lord will cause the fire of the purpose for which he created you to begin to burn in your heart. As you walk on the road, as you drive, as you go to work, as you go to school, as you sleep on your bed, that fire will begin to burn. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Until you wave bye-bye to normal mundane life. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Until your impact for the body, for the advantage of the body of Christ, will begin to be felt in the name of the Lord Jesus. Listen to me. Any progress that you make as a believer and does not impact the church is a useless progress. Did you hear what I said? Because you know, some people used to come to church, became millionaires, and they felt their tithe was too much for church. What a foolishness. What a foolishness. Remember what Mordecai told Esther. He said, if you don't act, salvation will come for Israel from another place. But you and your household and your father's house will perish. But who knows if you are in the kingdom for such a time as this. Listen, as I close first service, tie your progress to the church of God. Tie your progress to the church of God. Meaning let the local church, the church you belong to, is in two levels. Number one, let the church you belong to feel your impact. Don't be an unimpactful member of church. Don't be.
I say, ah, Pastor, but I don't have anything. You have something. Start from where you are. Start. It may be your time. It may be your skill. It may just be available. Sama, what can I do? But don't be an uncontributing part of a local church. Don't be a submarine Christian. You know, when I say it, it's just funny and we laugh about it. It's true. You may not be an usher in church, sing in the choir, but find a place where your contribution is known. Maybe something you have learned from working in the private sector that will benefit the church. Are you listening? And the second level of that statement is this. Always be positioned for the advancement of the kingdom of God, wherever you are. Meaning, if you are in a place and they are making policies or doing things that puts the church in disadvantage, let something roar from within you. The person may not be your church member, or the issue may not be about your own local church, but if it affects the body of Christ, let something rise within you. Glory to God. Come and rise to your feet. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.